2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Everybody there? We're still studying the crown. Did we go to John chapter 19? I don't remember. I did not mark my little place. No, we didn't. John chapter 19. Then Pilate, well, we don't have to go through all that. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. The crown for the crown of thorns is Stephanos. Remember, and that's what that means is they, in a sense, were mocking him. Instead of putting a diadem on him or a real crown, they put on this Stephanos, which is the, and it was, they were in effect mocking him, his claim that he was king of the Jews, because if he was king, it would have been diadem. You understand that subtlety? Okay, let's go to Philippians 4.
What does smote mean?
Huh? Smack him. Right. Well, it could be not necessarily slap, it just means hitting him. Okay, Philippians 4. Verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So Paul is calling the people of the Philippi his crown. It's not diadem, it's Stephanos. Now, diadem is exclusively for Jesus.
But he had Stephanos on the... You just read
that. Yeah, but they were mocking him.
But it doesn't always mean crown of thorns, does it?
No, that's what we studied all day yesterday. You remember the crown that's plated with... It's made of parsley and olive branches, and then it's the crown that's given normally for when you won a race or won an athletic contest. Mm-hmm. And so they made, instead of that... Even the Stephanos, the real Stephanos, they made a crown of thorns to mock him for saying he was king of the Jews. You're not here. The only time diadem is used in the New Testament is for Christ in the book of Revelation. Remember, we studied that yesterday. I think we did. I don't understand what you don't understand.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out too. It's like it was almost negative with the crown of thorns.
Well, it was negative.
And yet it's not negative if he's his.
They
crown.
Mocked him. Don't you understand? That's what, instead of even having a regular crown, which the Stephanos would have been, they made a Stephanos of thorns.
Okay.
And they made that be to mock him, but for us, the understanding is Every time we think and give breath to our thoughts, we are pounding in the crown of thorns on his head. Every time we think we have something to do, then we are pounding the nails in his hands. Every time we think we have some place to go, we are pounding the nail in his feet. Okay?
Yeah.
All righty. So there's a whole lot of places where Paul calls the people his crown. Okay? Now we're going to spend some time in Revelation. Let's go. We'll do it in order for Ronnie's sake, even though Ronnie's asleep. Go to Revelation 2:10. Or Revelation 2. I don't know if it's where it's at yet. Yeah, starting in verse 8, the message to the church at Smyrna. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Okay? So, now let's go to chapter 3.
That's Stephanos, right?
That's Stephanos. All these that we're reading are Stephanos. Well, this is to the church at Philippi. Let's just read it because it's important. In verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but are not, but do lie. Now, and again, remember, the New Testament definition of a Jew is not one outwardly, but one inwardly. And so they say they are Jews. You could just as easily put, they say they are Christians. They say they are Jews, but are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now, if on Wednesday nights we're studying the gospel in the stars. And every beast in that, since Satan is defeated, every beast in that, every snake, every dragon, every scorpion, is a metaphor for our mind. It's always trying to take the crown. You try to take the crown every time you are concerned with self-realization. And that self-realization is the fruit of the fall. It's the curse. Okay, so hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
Especially the man in the mirror.
Right. All right, now Revelation 4. Now this is, the action in Revelation doesn't begin until chapter 6. And so now in chapter 4 of Revelation, first, the first three chapters were messages to the churches. And each one of those churches are the types of the seven churches that always exist throughout linear time. Now, while all that's being said, then it describes what's happening around the throne. So, in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked. Remember, everything in Revelation is about seeing. And the angel is always telling John to come see, come see. And again, and after this, I looked. And behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they all had on their heads crowns of gold. Now here they were crowns, but they were still Stephanos. And the 24 elders that are sitting around the throne, remember, they are the leaders, and therefore they represent all the 24 courses of the priesthood. And we're going to see all those 24 courses of the priesthood, because they had kept the faith, their crown of leaves was transformed into a crown of gold, but it was still a Stephanos, because only Christ has the diadem. Okay? Let me read a little bit. This is interesting. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And they are all types of the revelation of Christ. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest day nor night, saying, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, which was, is, and is to come. Now, In the next chapter, in chapter 5, what happens then is all of the 24 beasts, I mean the 24 elders and all of the beasts, they fall down. And they fall down as dead because their work is finished. And that's what we have to see. If it's finished in heaven, it's finished in earth. The only thing that's keeping you from apprehending that finishness is your mind, which still thinks that you have things to do. Amen? All right, then let's go to Revelation. Well, let's go to verse 10 there. No, that's not good. Let's go to Revelation 6. Well, we just did that yesterday. That's where the false Christ had on a crown, but it was Stephanos. He sat on a white horse, and he had a bow and no arrow, and he goes forth conquering and to conquer. That's every time you have an idea. All right, then let's go Revelation 12.
Verse 12?
No, Revelation chapter 12. If you'd have been here on time, you would have seen that I'm going by the chapters in order, and I said for Ronnie, even though he isn't here. All right? And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon, and under her feet and upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. And that woman is the constellation Virgo. And upon her head are the 12 signs. And all the 12 signs of the zodiac all revolve around and reveal her seed, the seed of woman, which can't happen because therefore the virgin birth. And that's what's, and everything about the stars reveals that, and everything in the Bible reveals that, and everything on earth reveals that. We only had eyes to see. All right. A woman clothed with sun and the moon and on her feet, and under moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And again, the crown is Stephanos, because the diadem is reserved exclusively for Christ. All right, Revelation 14. No, that's not it. I lost my place. But Revelation 19. We'll just look at that one more time. We're trying to get straight in our minds these different, their crowns are all over the scriptures, and we're trying to get straight what they mean, okay? Well, let's read this. Go to verse 1. Yeah. The book of Revelation is fascinating in that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It isn't revelations. And it looks at, it's looking down so that it sees all in eternity, if we can hear this, everything happens at once. But in order for us to have any comprehension of it, we have to separate it out to see this mystery. And so here we have in 17, Revelation 17, it predicts the destruction of Babylon. Remember, after the cross, there's only two left. There's only the Babylon, the Babylonians, the those of the whore, and those of the bride. That's all that's left. There is no in-between. Are you a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy? Okay, so now, in 17, the destruction of Babylon is predicted, and then in 18, the destruction is complete. And so now, and this has to take place in each of us before it can take place in eternity. Because the judgment must always first begin in the temple of God, in us. And that's why finally then, instead of believing for fear as they did at the Pentecost, then now we end up believing for joy. And that's the going from believing for fear, or the last desperate measure when you finally see your death, that's transformed into believing for joy, and nothing has changed. The only thing that happens is your mind is renewed so that the silver is taken off your glass so you only see Him. You don't see yourself anymore. So now I pray that this has happened in each one of you. So now you can read Revelation 19 and see it is as it is now. Okay? And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Or the smoke is from the altar of incense. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of great multitudes, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, which is the righteousness of Christ only. Now, this scene has it inspired Handel to write the Messiah, Handel's Messiah. It inspired much great art of the Middle Ages, because they saw it was now, and the individuals have made themselves ready, for they have disowned themselves and be clothed only in the righteousness of Christ. They are no more concerned with being right about anything in time and space. Now, that can't happen until a whore is destroyed. And the whore, if Babylon is destroyed in you, and again, if you, this is my take on it. Babylon is anyone that lives by cause and effect. Cause and effect is the greatest enemy of mercy and grace there is. Because if you know, if you do this, this will happen, then you no longer need faith. And so mercy and grace have lost.
What is cause and effect?
What is cause and effect? If I do I'm going to do this, so that will happen. I'm going to take these steps, and so I'll get that. Everybody understand that? Remember, in Babylon itself, the type of this was the stupid thing in Babylon. It was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. And every time the sackbut sounded, everybody under the control of Babylon had to fall down and worship. If they didn't worship, then they were, the great example is the three young men were thrown into the fiery furnace because they didn't fall down and worship. Now, that God is called a bunch of names. But it couldn't stand because it was unstable. 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. A royal cubit is 25 inches, so that's how you can compute it if you want to. But it couldn't stand. And the story is, that's why Nebuchadnezzar sent his armies to sack the temple, because they took everything in the temple to build the base for that false god. In us, that is revealed. Because the moment you stop living by cause and effect, then everything, all of those places in you, the furniture of the temple is put back in its place. Because you've returned the goods from the temple spiritually in you to their proper place. They're no longer providing the base for the false god. So when you stop living by cause and effect and live by faith alone, then slowly but surely, depending on your depth of your repentance, that idol, that false idol falls, and you see the stupidity of cause and effect. And therefore you put on the righteousness of Christ.
There's just only one cause in faith, and that's God.
Right.
So
right.
Cause and effect is polytheism.
It's like the concept of zero. There can be no zero in the spirit. There's no nothing for a believer. Because you're at the first source of all things, on the mercy seat. If you believe, then whatsoever you say will be done for you. It will be provided. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The moment you want, you know you've been deceived. Because if you want, then you start going back to cause and effect to figure out how to get what you want. And it's on and on and on. And it's deceiving the whole world. In fact, anyone whose dwelling place is on the earth is deceived. Our dwelling place is not on the earth. We dwell only on the mercy seat. Amen? And a voice, I heard the word, the voice of a great multitude, and there's a voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah. They said that with